Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Attention StarCast attendees, the New Age Insiders will be live from the Podcast Movement pop-up studio, powered by Westwood One, as the first live show after All In. Join us at 9 a.m. Central on Sunday, September 2nd, as NAI breaks down everything that happened the night before at the biggest independent event of all time. Once again, that's NAI Live at 9 a.m. Central at the Podcast Movement pop-up studio, powered by Westwood One, only at StarCast on Fight TV.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Molotov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
Well, I was both expecting and not expecting that at the end of Raw.
We're going to talk all about the Shield.
Yeah.
Very quickly, because Goldberg's
part of our
intro.
I thought about that
thing. Our best friend in the world. He got hacked.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, because for a brief moment of time, I believed Bill Goldberg was going to save America. I immediately texted him, like literally, like right away, and I went, bro, I love it, but what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And then it was just like 2 question marks. And then I saw what else came, because the original tweet, people didn't see it. It all got taken down. It happened very quickly. But
yeah.
Goldberg's official Twitter account added the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and said, why are you threatening me, you dickhead? Let's get the ring.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like phrased in a way that I couldn't believe he said that to the president, but I can believe he would have said that to somebody else.
Right. It's like, why are you using the CIA or the Secret Service?
And then the next tweet under it was from him going like, when I see the FBI at my house, I didn't think it was going to be because I was getting harassed by the Oval Office. And I was like, what? What happened? And then in my head, I'm like, well, the president doesn't have a tremendous record with sensitivity, and Goldberg's Jewish, and I'm like, is this what we're doing? We're officially doing this thing, we're starting with Goldberg, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm messaging my friend Nicole, and even she's like, why would you pick on Goldberg if you're gonna pick on the Jews, which is terrible, but why would you start with Goldberg?
Like, I know.
Like, go up to like Woody Allen or something.
If it's got to be a wrestling guy, Sam Roberts?
Yeah, sure, but just like, Bill Goldberg is the first Jewish dude you think to pick on? Are you for real?
Yeah, he is Jewish Superman.
He did shoulder shrugs with a golf cart to get ready to fight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
There's this, I was looking for like GIFs of him to like send in the text, and all of the GIFs were him just being like, bah! And then like turning around and bleeding from the neck, and it's just like, it's not the guy. That's not the guy I want to. But But for those who didn't see it, because I was just like, oh my God, Bill Goldberg is going to save the world.
You know what
I mean? And I was like, what happened? I also want to watch Donald Trump respond to Goldberg. It's like, but you know, eventually we all worked it out that it was just like, if somebody's going to finally do something. Goldberg is as on the realistic list as anybody in this wacky-ass thing we call 2018.
I know,
You know what I mean? Like, if anybody's like, well, who took down the President of the United States? Like, Goldberg. He
speared him.
Wrapped himself in the Constitution.
He jackhammered him through that desk.
Remember when he looked at the camera? He's like, I got one more devastating jackhammer in
he
me.
He meant it for the President.
He did. He meant it. He just, like I said, he just wrapped himself in the Bill of Rights. barricaded through that guy.
Nonsensical.
The Gold Bull office.
Oh, very fun.
Hail to the champ.
It's happening.
Hail to the champ. Right? Yeah, he's just like, I think I'm president now, or so. I don't know.
Pence, you're next.
Hooray.
No, thank you.
That would have been great. You get my eye on you, Pence. And then Casper, the friendly president, would be like, I'm so scared of you and anything that's different than me. Yeah. Anyway, wrestling. So
Roman Reigns is a champion.
No way.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah. Here's the thing. DC said it because he's right.
Well, DC's smart.
Yeah. So I tweeted out on Monday that Roman Reigns is Luke Skywalker, right? Clearly the main character of this film, but probably the least like developed character out of all of them.
In the fifth main event of WrestleMania, will he also sit in a rock and blow away in the wind?
Probably. Okay. As Thanos snaps his fingers.
Well, no, I'm just saying,
because that's what happened. Well, I don't know if you
put Skywalker that together. Even in Skywalker's fifth appearance in the Star Wars franchise, he sat in a rock and he blew away in the wind. Right? Was that the fifth one?
That was the fifth. His fifth. Yeah.
Right. So I'm guessing Roman Reigns' main events 5 WrestleManias
and dies at the end.
Sits Indian style and blows away in the wind.
But people don't connect those two, that he was part of Thanos' snap.
Wow. So even Luke Skywalker was?
Yeah.
The universes are connected.
He's in the Infinity Stones now.
Wow. Now, we don't do fun things like that on Earth, but if anybody is, it's going to be the Disney and Marvel Studios conglomerate.
Because they're better at storytelling than everybody else?
Because, would there be some nerd named, Alan, you know what I mean, in his basement? Who's like,
definitely a fucking Alan.
Right, exactly. He's just like, I live in the basement, and I'm like, I have racked up the most World of Warcraft minutes of them all, even the panda version that everybody gave crap to.
There's a panda version?
I think there was, and I think it was very poorly received. Right, even that, I know that dude's gonna be pissed, but like, yeah, if the guy that cut Thanos' head off turns out to be Luke Skywalker, cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's like, even Hulk's having trouble, and then the Jedis are like, here we go.
Yeah, right.
They own them all. They own all the properties.
Right. You watched Parks and Rec, so you had to have seen this.
Tremendous television
program. There's a part where Patton Oswalt is filibustering, and he explains how they can connect all of them.
Sure.
And he talks about how because Thanos has the reality gem, he messes up with everything, and the reality gem forces the two worlds together.
And Wolverine. And
at one point, Darth Vader and Thanos get together or something.
And Wolverine can be like, you wouldn't let me be an Avenger, so I became a Jedi.
Yeah.
I'm a Jedi Knight instead. That's cool.
And he's still angry about it.
I don't even love Star Wars. But I mean, I do, but I don't, I'm not, it's not like my thing.
Yeah.
But that would be swell.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of reformations and Infinity, the Shield are back together. And it is.
They were never not together. Dean was just hurt.
Yeah, they were, a couple of years. I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The whole thing. You know, it's like, speaking of TV shows, it's this great thing where Jim and Pam are trying to explain Dwight and Angela. And, like, if you do go, you never really think about it until they say it, but, like, the characters are, like, hooking up, and then they're not hooking up, and then all of a sudden they just are again. And it's, like, sort of one of those things where you go, like, they've been together for 2 years, but then there was a break, and they just wind up just stumbling on. The timeline is fuzzy. That's what it is with the Shield. You know, people keep getting hurt. Roman Reigns is breaking his nose. Dean Ambrose is blowing out his shoulder. Seth Rollins is sometimes
tearing ACLs. Sometimes
evil. Yeah. And who knows? But there is a lot to unpack and talk about when it comes to these three gentlemen reforming as a unit. If it is your first time checking us out and listening, welcome. We appreciate it very much.
We don't always start with Star Wars Marvel talk.
Not always, but we're going to be talking about so much wrestling for the next few days and weeks that, I mean, hey, maybe we do talk about what if Raphael
and the Green Ranger
helped. Oh, right. What if Raphael was the new Red Ranger? Okay. we are going to be part of StarCast next week. We are going to be going to All In. We are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We are the Wrestling Radio Awards live show of the year. We are live before and after every WWE pay-per-view that we do not attend, and we take your phone calls to know what literally the world of wrestling thinks about these events. And my name is Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter. Please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI, the website where you can find DC and Doc Talk, Chip and Damian, Salty Chips. You can find McCool and Company and all of the great shows.
McCool and Company! Is that the name of it?
It's coming where you're going to see people like, is it even really coming back? It
coming
is.
Coming soon.
It is. We're going to All In. It is September 1st.
All
it is
in.
Very symbolic. And when we come back from All In, it's the
beginning
of the whole shebang.
McCool and Company.
Lots of things are happening behind the scenes, even if people don't think that it is, because we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. NewAgeInsiders.com. I don't know if I said that part. Twitch and iTunes and all that good stuff.
Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV. Watch there. Mixler.com/NewAgeInsiders. Right? Is that it, Bill?
And links to both of those right on NewAgeInsiders.com/NAI Live.
Boom. We also have a YouTube page. We never talk about it, but we got it.
Yeah, Facebook.
Yeah. We have everything.
Tout.
Yeah.
I still tout. Does anybody watch?
Does tout even exist?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
tout.com.
When aren't I touting? It just flows off the tongue.
It does.
I can be that guy that would have a problem with Luke Skywalker and tell you and be like, I'm watching Raw.
Oh yeah, we are on Periscope. You can Periscope too.
All of it. Yeah. All of it. All of it. We're on MySpace. We're on MySpace Live.
Is that a thing? Cool.
Yep.
So the Shield.
So SummerSlam. let me set the tone. SummerSlam. I was less than thrilled with the outcome because I am not as convinced that Roman Reigns as Universal Champion is anything more than the illusion of a wide-open show comparatively to Brock Lesnar. Now, they are not two sides of the same coin. The show is more open than Lesnar's championship now, but I think, again, there is a heavy veil of facade.
Yes.
Let me give you an example, right? Because I want to talk about the good that comes from the Shield getting back together and Roman Reigns being the champion of the show. And I want to talk about the things that are less than perfect or traps they can fall into.
Right.
This isn't going to be an hour of the WWE's awful. I got that all out of my system. Because here's the thing. I am super fair to this dude, even if you don't think so. Remember a couple weeks ago, if you're going to keep track of everything I do, remember a couple weeks ago or a month ago, when he lost to Bobby Lashley in the middle of the show, and I sat here and said, you got to take stock of the fact that he lost to Bobby Lashley in the middle of the show? I'm fair, right? So I'm going to try to be fair tonight. That's the big point here. My number one concern already, the flower already began to bloom to me with Finn Balor, because here's the spin. Look, Roman Reigns is a fighting champion. He did something one night that Brock Lesnar didn't do in 500 days. He defended the title on Raw and gave old Finn a shot. Yeah, and he beat him, and now Finn Balor has no claim to a Universal title shot and literally might not ever get a one-on-one shot at a pay-per-view against Roman Reigns for that title.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so you can tell me that you enjoy Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor, knowing the outcome, because it's better than Brock wrestling nobody. And that's cool, man, because there's a ton of weight to that argument.
Yes.
If you tell me that you'd rather watch the champion fight than not fight, I'm not going to call you an asshole for that. It makes a ton of sense.
Right.
But I do encourage people to keep their eyes open that what really, really happened was Finn Balor got dismissed. The people backstage got sick and tired of hearing that he was owed a title match. Well, he got it. At Raw, and it's over.
I also think it's a victim of circumstances, right? Because you're not going to set up a rivalry, right? So it's not going to be a bad guy, right? Because
you want to be a fighting champion right away.
Right.
I get it.
Right. You want him to be a fighting champion right away. And unfortunately, Finn Balor kind of logically is the only guy available, because Braun Strowman is the Money in the Bank holder. So
not going to challenge him.
Not going to challenge him, right? Kevin Owens gets dismantled the night before, and if we want to have Braun Strowman still be dominant and everything, he's off the table. McIntyre and Ziggler are still licking their wounds from the Intercontinental stuff, so they're not involved.
And the biggest thing is, I'm going to let you go, but the biggest thing is that what we're desperately trying to do, and I'll say it, we're desperately trying to make you like Roman Reigns, right? So
correct.
He had to challenge a babyface.
A babyface,
so
right.
So you felt good about, he gave Finn a try.
And we can't have Bobby Lashley because Bobby Lashley, at least in the WWE's mind, is too credible.
And Roman Reigns doesn't like that guy.
So they don't like each other. So it kind of just by default ends up being Finn Balor.
Yep.
Because Finn is credible enough to be like, oh, he could win this.
Yep.
But also at the same time, the only guy available because Seth and Dean are going to beat up Strowman later.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know,
there's no reason that's not a hugely important point to make here.
And unfortunately, the story kind of going forward right now, and they set the table at SummerSlam, is Braun Strowman is always going to challenge somebody right now. Like, that is now his mission. His mission is, I'm going to cash this in no matter what. And people are just trying to keep him away from the title. And so
three people.
They're trying to keep him away from the title. And so that's the story now.
Yep.
And it's just like, it's unfortunate because we'd be saying this about whoever he faced. So I don't necessarily.
I'm not blowing a gasket over it. I'm just saying that all I'm trying to do is for either gigantic Roman Reigns fans or even people down the middle, just for the sake of objectivity. My favorite dude on Raw, right? Other than Brock Lesnar, is Finn Balor. And the protagonist I would like to see succeed the most. And it was very cool that he went from, like, having a tough time getting on TV to fighting the Universal Champion on Raw. That is a step forward for him. So, again, let's be fair. Let's talk about the positives of Roman Reigns' championship. Finn Balor went from fighting a guy in a vest when he gets on TV to fighting the Universal Champion on Raw in the main event.
Yeah.
Upgrade. Yep. Good for Finn Balor. Again, I do believe it is, like, a little bit like kissing your sister here, where it's like, yeah, guy, you got the main event to Raw, so we don't have to talk about this anymore, and your title, your demanded owed rematch is over.
Yeah, right.
All those are, you know how we've been making that
case?
Yeah,
that's been the argument. It's over.
It's over. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm glad we got a nice quality wrestling match on Raw, too. The title was involved. It's cool to see it.
Right.
But I don't believe, I do believe this is a point in my favor that it is only the illusion of change.
See, again, I think that the Brock Lesnar was going to hold the title until Roman Reigns took it off of him, right?
Yep.
And I think with Roman Reigns, it's far more like John Cena in 2010, where it's like, you're going to lose this a lot so you can win this a lot. Right. And so
might be. Do you think they're going to make Roman Reigns a 17-18 time champion? Honest question.
They have not proven that they won't, you know.
Yeah,
if you can honestly sit here year in and year out and say the best we can do at WrestleMania is Roman Reigns versus opponent B.
Versus opponent designed to make you know he's a big deal.
Right. Because that's it. Because it was your versus Brock Lesnar. It's Roman versus Brock Lesnar. It's Roman versus Triple H. It's Roman versus The Undertaker. It's Roman versus Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
So
it's either a title or a legend or both.
Yeah, right. And so it's like, yeah, you, if that's your mindset, then yeah, you're going to try and do it. I mean, now, I think that the fans have curbed it a little bit because the vehement reaction from a majority of the fan base.
Let me ask you that. So it's a fair question. This experiment, and I'll use that word, with Brock Lesnar being the champion for 500 days, was, I think we can all agree, and maybe not because we can't agree on anything as a community, but I think what they wanted to do was put hate in a pressure cooker.
Correct.
And leave the pressure cooker on the stove for 500 days.
Yep.
And so when Roman Reigns finally came along and put the lid off, right, all that pressure and all that anger.
It's released.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're just going to thank whoever the hell pulled the lid off, right?
Right.
So, and now I do believe with 50% emphasis that this is why the Shield is back together. Because I've been told I'm a mark and a smark, but people I respect online too, so I haven't engaged. But I've been told if I'm a mark or a smark if I believe that Roman Reigns, that Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are hanging out with Roman Reigns for only his benefit. No, I'm right and you're wrong. They are only hanging out with Roman Reigns for his benefit.
I don't know. Look, here's the thing. You can check all of the tape, and I'm looking right at you, Internet. You can check all of the tape. I am very good at telling what these stories are, right? And the story is that we're likely going to get the Shield triple threat at WrestleMania for the Universal title. And so they have to start by protecting Roman Reigns and his Universal Championship as friends before the friction starts to build, until it builds to a fever pitch where it's like, Roman, buddy, you are nothing without us. You can't win the thing. And then boils over to the fact that it's going to be the three of them at WrestleMania.
Sure. I wouldn't dismiss that at all. And I think that there are three people that can win the Royal Rumble. Not can. Three people that will actually win the Royal Rumble. Your pick in Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
My pick in Cody Rhodes, that I still stick by, as we said today.
NWA World Heavyweight Champion Cody Rhodes.
Let's see what happens. It's not a belt that Vince is afraid to put on TV. He's had it before.
It's true.
And three is Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because, to your point, you want something other than Dean turned heel to start the friction. It's son of a gun. I mean, we've seen it before.
Yep.
Look what the Bullet Club did. Like, Skrull either became the number one contender.
He became the number one contender.
And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're friends. I mean, look at Becky and Charlotte. You infuse a championship, and all of a sudden it's like, well, what is your real priority here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that might be more fun than just Dean is holding on to a 4-year grudge and hits everybody with chairs.
Surprisingly.
Right. So do you think it worked? Do you think the trick worked?
I don't think it did. Not at least, definitely not in the way that they
wanted to.
I don't think it failed.
I think it softened the reaction for him.
Because I felt a lot better when Brock Lesnar was vanquished, right? Yep.
I get you.
You know, I felt better about it because, again, it wasn't going to be Monday, and it wasn't going to be Finn Balor, right? That was never on the table.
Right.
But having Roman Reigns be the champion, now there's a longer list of people that can win this Universal Championship. I don't know when it's going to be, but now...
Do you really think so?
I do.
So honest open-ended question, who is on the list? Because I agree, Brock's list was Roman Reigns or The Rock.
Those are the two people.
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
I do think that Drew McIntyre is on that list. Kevin Owens is on that list. Braun Strowman is on that list. Finn Balor is on that list. Seth Rollins on that list. Dean Ambrose on that list.
Okay.
You know, so that list is already exponentially longer, and you can sit there and go, yeah, there's a way that person gets a title shot and wins.
Does the Shield change everything, though?
I think that the Shield changes everything, but they're still on the list because I just said that they're going to wrestle at WrestleMania.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're on the list.
No, I mean, does the Shield change the list because now everybody has to beat three people, not one, for this championship? That's what I mean.
Right.
Do their odds decrease?
I think Bobby Lashley became more compelling on this list.
Depends. See, here's the thing. I don't even believe it, but there is a chance that one of the purposes behind this is that so when Braun Strowman wins,
it's even more impressive.
He destroys this group that can destroy anything.
Right.
Bill, will Braun Strowman cash in on Roman Reigns?
I think he will.
Will he win?
Yes, I think he's going to cash in. I think the Shield's going to piss him off so much over the next couple weeks that Braun Strowman's going to cash in ahead of time like he said he would at SummerSlam. And he's going to cash in for a Hell in a Cell match to keep Dean and Seth away.
Okay. Yeah, or it's going to be one of those situations where he's going to have already dispatched Rollins and Ambrose, and when Roman thinks that he's going to be able to, like, pull it out again, we cut to the back, and both of them are unconscious under piles of stage.
Here's what I'm going to put out there into the pathos, into the universe, right?
Yes.
There is going to be some sort of miscommunication somewhere along the way, and Strowman's going to cash in and win the championship, and Roman's going to be mad at the other two, and they're all going to be mad at each other.
Right.
And the Shield triple threat is not for a title at WrestleMania, and they finally acknowledge that maybe the fans need a break from him in the main event.
Yeah.
That's what I think is also a possibility. I'm worried that Strowman's cash-in is going to fail.
I don't think so. mostly because they've built this guy up to be too big of a monster. Won the tag team titles against a against a very, very dominant tag team by himself.
Yep.
Right. You know, like, yes, he had an 11-year-old stand on the apron, but
he,
what I mean? He manhandled Kevin Owens. He manhandles everybody. This guy is the biggest of big deals. He's the Big Show right at the beginning before they gave up on him.
No, you know what he is? You're right, but he is, to me, the Big Show and Kane smushed together.
Right.
Because Kane was also massive, but the big thing was it was just like, that dude was scary. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, top rope clotheslines, too athletic for that frame, scary. But then you're right that he's got the Big Show factor where he is literally the biggest person on the roster. He's bigger than Brock.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He is quite, he is the most dominant, imposing figure.
Yeah.
But then I think he's got that Kane factor that's like,
you can move like that?
You can do a tilt-a-world fucking sidewalk slam, man. Like, I'm in trouble here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's going to be a lot tougher for him, but maybe I'm supposed to think so.
Right.
So here's the, let's talk about, I want to kind of, I want to, again, I want to be as fair as possible here. So let's ping pong a good point, you know, with a potentially negative point. So the good point here is that he's a quote-unquote fighting champion.
Yep.
Right?
I also like the presentation.
Okay, and what and how so?
See, the thing that I like about the presentation is that he it's far more of like a sports team, right? Where they're going to be a like they're going to take the idea of being a tweener faction to a different place and level. You either like Roman Reigns and you like the Shield and you like what they're doing, or you're going to like Braun Strowman and want to have Braun Strowman win the title.
Okay.
So I think that we've kind of reached a place in a positive way that you like the guy that Roman is, you don't like Roman and you like the guy he's going against, or you like Roman and you want him to win, right? So I think having Brock Lesnar not be a person that is designed to be hated, right? You don't have half of the fan base who doesn't like him and half of the fan base who doesn't like the other guy, and so nobody likes anybody, and it just sucks the life out of the show. It feels like we're more in a place of like, I like this guy. No, I like this guy, and kind of more ultimate challenge-y.
Yeah, and I think if that would to become more of a wash over the programming in general, that they'd find themselves to that benefit because, like, look at Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Right.
They're, the way I phrase it is there is a real yin and yang to this whole thing because, yep, I think that you could, if you wanted to break it down at an overly simplistic level, say Becky Lynch is more wrong because she instigated the fight and slapped her friend.
Yeah.
But so if she's the dark part of that, you know, this, but there's that circle of light in there that is, yeah, but man, she got screwed a lot and got to the point where she reached a personal tipping point.
Right.
And then Charlotte is probably character-wise more of the altruistic good one because she just stood there and like took it from her friend unsuspectingly.
Yeah.
Then there's that dark circle in there that goes, "Yeah, Charlotte, but I mean, you can't ever give up the spotlight here." And so it's much more like, do you want to root for Charlotte Flair because you like Charlotte Flair? There's reasons to.
Right.
You want to root for Becky Lynch because you like Becky Lynch? Well, there's reasons to. And that's so much better.
And this point comes more from that realization too, and adding that dynamic into it as well, where it's like, yeah, this is all TV. And what I've been talking about for forever is Breaking Bad and Mad Men changed the game, right? Because now you have a bunch of characters that are morally gray,
sure,
right? Stone Cold Steve Austin was awesome because he was morally gray.
Yep.
I am not the, yay, let's do it for
America. I am not a good guy.
I'm not a good guy. Yeah, you know, I'm going to destroy my boss's Porsche. You know, that's not a good guy thing to do.
R.I.P. to a, that was it a silver Corvette?
Yeah, something.
It was. Like a $60,000 spot just to make Austin look good.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But the idea of like, yeah, let's have these people be morally gray and you're going to root for the guy. So someone like Jedi isn't wrong for liking Roman Reigns because he likes Roman Reigns and can root for him as like a sports team. And we can root for Braun Strowman because we like Braun Strowman and it's more of a sportsman rooting as opposed to a heel and face.
Sure.
I think we've evolved past that.
If it, not everything can be this, but you know, you and I think, I hope this is an easy softball for you.
Yeah.
how great is the dynamic between Batman and Superman?
Right.
Where it's like, look, you can root with your whole heart for Superman when he's fighting Batman because he's got all these reasons. And you can root with your whole heart for Batman because he's got his reasons. And it just seems to be who you gravitate toward. Now, what I would imagine when I read these comics is, because of how DC works, is Superman is more good in this yin-yang scenario here. But yeah, the character Superman is deeply flawed, and Batman's the only one in this literature that points that out.
Yeah.
And Batman is super-duper flawed, and Superman is one of the only people that points that out in this literature.
Right.
And so I love that dynamic because, yeah, it's not always... Now, sometimes Superman gets possessed, right?
Yeah, right.
And sometimes Batman gets corrupted. But... Not like morally corrupted, but like alien symbiotes and stupid stuff. But
yeah, like magic,
right? Exactly. Yeah. But more,
Mad Hatter brain control.
But more often than not, it's like this is how Superman goes. This is how I believe a city should be run and protected. And Batman goes, swell. This is how Gotham has to be run and protected.
Right.
And you just sort of pick your sides. And we need to stick to wrestling stuff 8 out of 10 times and say, you are the bad guy and you are the good guy. 10-year-olds are watching and they're dumb.
Yeah.
But not to drift completely into this again and again, I love the Becky Lynch Charlotte thing.
Right.
Because it's just like, whose side are you on?
Yeah, right. Well, and I prefer it's Sasha and Bailey.
Sure.
You know, whose side are you on? I mean, they ultimately ended up being friends, but it's just like, yeah, you both are doing things to each other that you shouldn't be.
How much of, just to get back to the Shield, that's what the show's about.
Right.
How much, Bill and Liam, how much is that fighting champion factor for you? Who do you want to see him fight? And be honest, does the idea that he's fighting these people for the sake of doing it, not because he's going to drop the belt on Raw, really, really probably, to change anything?
Yeah, because, I mean, look at what happened to the U.S. title when Cena started doing weekly challenges, the weekly open challenges. Now, I think Cena is the superior performer to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's see what it looks like because there is that, you know, well, they're not going to win, so it can be whoever we want, you know? So I'm trying to think of somebody on the Raw roster that would definitely not get, you know, Bray Wyatt. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt's looking to come back, looking for relevancy. And so it's like, yeah, let's have Bray Wyatt spook his way back.
Right. It's too bad Matt Hardy's hurt because he definitely would have got a shot at the largest of dogs.
So, yeah, right. You know what I mean? You know. And it's like, that would have been really fun for an evening because at the end of the day, what I'm looking for out of this defended on Raw situation is I want you to make Raw a reason to watch.
You want to make Raw great again?
I want to make Raw great again, guys. And I'm going to start by picking
Goldberg. Where is he?
I'm going to pick on Bill Goldberg first.
Here's a really fun thing. It is not my idea. I wish I could give credit to whoever's idea it was. I don't remember, but it's not mine. So at least there's that humility in it. Would it be a funny gimmick if Brock Lesnar every week, Paul Heyman's like, when do I get my rematch, right? And so the first week he gave a rematch to Finn Balor. And then what if he gives a rematch to Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
What if he gave a rematch to Bill Goldberg? Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Go. You have a month.
Yeah.
You need to deliver 2 spears, and we're going to have the finish be a kibosh.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? There's going to be a non-finish. You need to hit a couple spears.
Everybody gets a rematch.
Right. And not Brock.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is
I love Brock Lesnar, but that's funny. I mean, come on. You got to be self-aware. That's funny.
That is funny.
You know what I mean?
That is very funny.
And it's not even just because I get to see Goldberg again. It's just because...
No, because it is funny.
Because it's like, all right, you know, Balor I get, and Owens I get, and then Goldberg comes out and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, that would be...
Right.
That'd be pretty funny.
It would be pretty funny.
When we come back...
Yeah, the Shield would have to attack him.
Or some sort of kind of that is when Brock finally shows
snaps.
Up on Raw and just goes, are you for real? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Goldberg, like he just, I just want him to like grab Goldberg by the face to be like, leave me alone. You know what I mean? When we come back, we are going to talk about all that comes with the Shield's reformation, including the fact that this is now the number one priority on the list of things for the Intercontinental Champion and a returning lunatic, the New Age Insider, exploring all aspects of the Shield's reuniting when we come back.
Attention StarCast attendees, the New Age Insiders will be live from the Podcast Movement pop-up studio powered by Westwood One as the first live show after All In. Join us at 9 a.m. Central on Sunday, September 2nd as NAI breaks down everything that happened the night before at the biggest independent event of all time.
Once again, that's NEI Live at 9 a.m. Central at the Podcast Movement Pop-Up Studio, powered by Westwood One, only at StarCast on Fight TV.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NEI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Makowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Makowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam. Show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Moltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Burn it down! Terrible architect.
Well, unless you're architecting this for yourself.
Yeah, or maybe he's like a perfectionist, and so he like built the building, and then he was like, no, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Starting over. This has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about, but just I think this is interesting, so I'm just going to read this out loud. This is from Joey G, I believe.
Okay.
I believe Joey sent this to the Patreon chat. You can be a Patreon, too. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We have a lot of fun. We talk about great stuff. You get breaking scoops and news before anybody. For example, I was able to tell people about Dean Ambrose one solid week early and all that kind of fun stuff. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. I give all the good secrets away there. So this is just a really quick footnote. Because we are going to All In next week, which is, without exaggeration and hyperbole, the biggest independent wrestling event ever put on in the 100-year history of professional wrestling, and I mean that. We are going. We are on part of StarCast, and we are going to be live on location. We'll let you know more next week, but we are your only access to Flip Gordon All In weekend. You heard it here first before his barbecue and all that stuff. But as far as the StarCast-sponsored stuff, we are your ticket to Flip Gordon exclusively. Again, much more next week.
But yes.
Really quick footnote. Chris Jericho says he told Vince McMahon about All In earlier this year. Vince's reaction was classic Vince. Quote, I told Vince about All In 4 or 5 months ago, Jericho said. We were just discussing and shooting the breeze, and I said, yeah, the show's in September in Chicago. And Vince said, quote, I wish they would have called me. September is the worst time of year to promote, end quote. Just because it just goes to show that, look, you know, maybe Vince McMahon had a different monologue in his head, and maybe he said other things as well, but it is just interesting to just be like, yeah, 10,000 seats in September. And Vince is like, oh, cute.
Yeah, right.
Neat. Right. I wish Cody had called. I would have told him that September was a stupid month.
Even, yeah. it's funny because it's just like, yeah, Vince, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
It's just a bunch of people he's never heard of.
I wonder
if... So it can't be anybody because he's never heard of them.
He also probably doesn't realize it's sold out.
Right. He probably also thinks that he's thinking in, like, the mind frame of television producer.
Right.
Where September is a bad month to go up against stuff.
Yes, you are correct.
Where All In is just more so like a pay-per-view, and you got all the new fall shows on television, and you got football, all that stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Here, Vince looks at it and goes, oh, you know what's coming on September 1st? College football.
Yeah.
Kick off of college football.
Well, here's the other thing, too. The only thing I would say that isn't maybe strategically perfect about it is, you know, it's, you know what else is coming up? School.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
That's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. School.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, this is not when the family... You know what I mean?
Like, this is either the last vacation or you've already been on your last vacation.
But, hey, maybe here's the best part. Maybe the show wasn't for kids.
It's not for kids.
Say, maybe that's the best part. Maybe it's ECW, baby. ECW. Somebody put on the internet something that, like, gave me actual goosebumps where they showed One Night Stand 2005 and the fact that Vince actually licensed Enter Sandman for the Sandman and the entire building, the Hammersteins just screaming, as there's a bug in my face, they're just screaming Enter Sandman while this guy comes out and wastes a six-pack on his forehead.
Yeah, as he's bleeding before he gets there.
I'm telling you guys, ECW before the year 2001 was just exemplary. it was the stupidest, worst kind of fun you'll ever have. But
Sure.
Speaking of exemplary, one of the most prestigious championships in all of professional wrestling period is the WWE Intercontinental title, right? It's got about 40, got to be close to 40 years of history now, because I'm pretty sure Patterson won it in the late 70s, so it's got to be around 40 years of history, and it is, you know, God damn it, pal, it's the Intercontinental Championship.
Right.
It's the Catalina wine mixer of belts. And when I think about the Intercontinental Championship recently, I think of its stock, like WWE's, to be fair, trending high.
Yes.
Right direction. I think Seth Rollins, I think The Miz was a terrific Intercontinental champion.
Yeah, it really helped pull it around, turn it around.
I think Seth Rollins was even better
because
you liked him and cared about him even more.
Yep.
And he was more recently a main eventer.
Yes.
More recently.
Yes.
I think Dolph Ziggler did just fine.
He also helped a lot.
Yep. I think Dolph Ziggler did just fine, and again, gave it attention, because here's the thing. You might not have agreed with his short Intercontinental title run,
right,
but it kept things interesting.
Right, because Seth Rollins just didn't have this prop for another 4 weeks.
He's not on cruise control.
Yeah.
There's no guarantees.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It reminds me of, I bring this up all the time, but it reminds me of, in my opinion, the golden days of the Intercontinental title, which was when Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and Kurt Angle all wanted it.
Well, and it's kind of like what I said leading up to NXT TakeOver. It's time to get it off of Adam Cole, because we need to get to a new championship, because we're going to get to the point where it's just a thing he carries around.
And NXT's not the place for, like, honky-tonk level things where it's like, he's when isn't he the Intercontinental Champion?
Yeah,
you
right.
You know what I mean? And I totally
agree
with that, too.
So it's just like having Seth Rollins lose for that brief window with Dolph Ziggler to then win it back on the big stage. Huge. Huge.
The reason I bring that up, though, specifically tonight, as on our Shield complete retrospect and rundown, whatever the hell we're going to call it,
sure,
is because... One thing that I don't like when the Intercontinental trends in WWE is when the Intercontinental champion is more concerned with other things than one-on-one competition for his belt.
Right.
Because that leads to tag stuff where the Intercontinental title is not the focus.
Right.
That leads to opportunities. Sometimes pay-per-views where it's not even on the show.
It's how the stock drops.
Right. Exactly. And so, again, let's be fair. I'm not going to be marky and stupid and say that, oh, great, the Intercontinental Champion is now only doing something for someone else. It's not true, because the Shield in its origins was still presented as a triangle.
Right.
Right? They are three people with equally carrying and distributing the weight of the shape.
Right.
And so it's not called Roman Reigns' Shield. Yeah. It's not called Roman and the Other Dogs. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the Shield. They are three of them. Now, he's the Universal Champion. He's going to look like the leader. That's how shit works.
Yes.
Right?
But the cool thing about it is that the group, in the way that you just presented, is the accurate way that this group is presented, right? DX always had a leader and everybody else.
Yep, Michaels and Triple H.
Michaels, Triple H, everybody else.
Yep.
Right? So they were always doing stuff for the other people. When you remember when all three of them had championships the last time, the tag and the U.S., they helped each other, right? And one didn't feel bigger than the other, but they helped each other. So do you know what would be really cool? Is if the Universal Champion helps Seth Rollins keep his belt. You know what I mean? Like, it is...
I think that... See, you're right. My fear is that this is... There would have been a time 5 years ago when if you told me that all Monday Night Raw was is the Shield doing whatever they want and making sure that no one can take their belts away because you have to beat all three of them, I would have been like, that's awesome, man. I think the roster's way too good. You don't need them to do that anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? And so, like, yeah... But now I'm kind of in a corner because I do sort of need Roman Reigns to help Seth Rollins at least once to prove it's not Roman and the Dogs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Because so far in this relationship,
Roman hasn't even shown up.
Let's go with the last 72 hours or so, depending on when you're listening to this, right?
Right.
At SummerSlam, Roman Reigns did not help Seth Rollins win the Intercontinental title.
Right.
Now, Dean Ambrose was there, and Dean Ambrose sort of, okay? But Roman Reigns didn't.
Right.
Seth Rollins won without the help of his fellow dog.
Yeah. The flip side, Roman Reigns also won without the help of his dog.
Correct. But on Monday, he didn't.
Correct. And so that's
With the case thing. He beat Balor on his own.
He beat Balor on his own. But again, you got to... Like, we have to see the next time, because right up until they showed up in the garb, they weren't together, if that makes sense.
I get you.
Right? So they show up in the uniforms, and now they're together. Yeah. And so now Roman Reigns has to help the next time. I don't fault him for what he didn't do before.
Sure, right.
But
yep.
But if on Monday, McIntyre and Ziggler are beating the holy bejesus out of Seth and Dean, and Roman doesn't come down, then I have a problem.
Exactly. I'm not going to sit here and be a dork and be like, yeah. This whole thing has just gotten off the ground. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I do feel it important to point out that
Roman's got
to
be there.
Right. Roman needs to help them as much as they help him.
Right.
Or it's Roman and the Dogs. It's not the Shield.
Right. And again, that's how you start to turn the fan base. Right? Because you get back to basics. Right? People that like the Shield and like the way that the Shield was, if they maintain that mentality and the functionality of the group originally, where it's like, yeah, I don't care if I lose, but all three of us are just going to maul you.
Right.
And it's like, if we get back to that, then yeah, people are going to, their opinion on Roman Reigns is going to turn. But if it only happens in Universal title matches and doesn't happen in Intercontinental title matches, well, now it's like people are going to resent Roman Reigns more. So again, with a lot of things that come down with this guy, this guy being Roman Reigns in general, is WWE is again at a fork, right? Where they can do something that's going to help turn the tide in a positive way to get people on board with Roman Reigns, or turn the tide even more against him. I'm rooting for everybody to get on board with him because, yeah, do you know how awesome it would be if Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose just kept those championships and it was like a three-man power trip?
It would be fun.
You know, because how awesome would it be? And look, it's unfortunate that we don't have a European championship, you know, or something, because Dean could get a belt too.
Uh-huh.
But... yeah, look, here's the deal. If the Shield also are the Freebird tag team champions, yeah, that's pretty fun, man. That's a pretty fun situation we got going on.
Okay, so I'm going to get roasted for this, but here we go anyway. So I find a certain irony in Seth Rollins saying, eventually we need to move on from the greatest hits.
Yes.
Because we need to do new and cool things.
Yeah, and then he's a part of a group that's a retread. Yeah.
Now, The Rock and The Shield are not the same thing. Gotcha.
Yeah.
The Rock hasn't been all in since 2002. okay? And Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, and yes, Roman Reigns are here every week, busting their ass and working so hard that how can I not love everything they do, okay? But the Shield peaked 4 years ago.
Right.
And my concern is, if Roman Reigns was as popular as they wanted him to be, we wouldn't be doing this.
You are right.
And so I just think, like TK said it, and I think he's right, and I've seen a bunch of people say it, is that it gets a little less special every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so my fear is you are now, like, let's bring it to the other guy. Because I think longtime listeners of this show know, I have never been a Dean Ambrose guy, right? I think the dude is cardboard boring. Most of was. Cardboard boring and an average pro wrestler, right?
I think that he wrestled on Raw. A lot more power moves and a lot more strong wrestling. I really liked this version. Now let's see if we can keep it up.
That's what I wanted to bring up, is because this is the first time, literally in his 5-year run in the company, 6-year run, certainly as this independent, as a solo guy, that I have ever been interested in Dean Ambrose. I am trying, for the sake of wanting to like the show, having an open mind. Okay, you got a new look, you got a new attitude. Damn it, pal, you got some new moves, right? I'm not going to be a dick and just be like, I didn't like him a year ago, so I don't like him ever. Put my fingers in my ears. That's lame. Man, come on. We've got to be able, like, everybody, remember even Scotty was on our show being like, God damn, I hope they don't push Braun Strowman just because he's big.
Yeah.
And now look, he's everybody's favorite.
Right.
So I am really trying to be like, okay, things change and adapt, and only I'm punishing myself if I don't like the show. And so what the thing about Dean Ambrose is, I was like, I'll give this guy a good, honest second chance. See what this looks like. See what he can do. I like the haircut. I like the mean mugging. I like the new frame. I like the power-based moveset. Let's see. And now, Dean Ambrose is in the Shield again.
Right.
Now, let's be fair. Dean Ambrose is going to keep that haircut. He's going to keep those muscles.
Right. Everything's the same.
But yeah, I kind of wanted to see what this dude can do on his own for a little while. And now he's not. Now because I really do still believe this, now his number one objective is to help sway the crowd in Roman Reigns' favor.
Right.
I do believe that. And you can tell me I'm a mark and wrong, but I do believe that.
Yeah.
And now with Seth Rollins,
who's coming out of Thanos,
and the Intercontinental Champion, and trying to make that a big thing on its own again, right? And now you want to talk about the other side of a post-Brock Lesnar world, is the Intercontinental Championship went from the title on Raw with the everybody's favorite babyface to it's a part of the Shield now.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not telling you what's good or bad because it's subjective, but it's also to me that facade of change. Because now Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose aren't actual title contenders. Not right now.
No.
And so Finn Balor so far has been dismissed. Rollins and Ambrose aren't even going to get in aren't going to get in line. And the Intercontinental Champion and this brand new dude kind of, to me, are in more of a holding pattern than anything else because they have to help Roman Reigns.
See, at the same time, again, I got to see more. The sample size is too small.
That's very fair.
Because that's the thing is Finn Balor lost, but he also had a monstrous win on Sunday. You know, so I don't want to discredit that for having a monstrous win, you know.
It's just because I was pre-Shield.
Right. You know, and so it's just like, let's see. I have to see what it looks like. Let's get to Hell in a Cell. Let's see what Hell in a Cell looks like. Because they could very easily fall into the same traps they always fall into, where it is status quo, status quo, status quo. But I would like to think, you know, again, it's the fork, right? If you go the way of them just doing their thing again, then yeah, great. We'll just, then positives, all positives. Everybody's going to like it. It's going to help sway people in Roman Reigns' favor. Because the issue that you have, as well as a lot of fans have, isn't necessarily a hatred for Roman Reigns in the sense of, I just vehemently don't like this guy.
I don't think he's great, but it doesn't make my blood boil as much as the decisions do.
Right. The decisions are what you're mad at.
Right.
The presentation is what you're mad at.
Right.
So if we change the presentation and alter the decisions, ultimately, what are you mad at? Right?
Yep.
And so it's not...
I think the anger is, why does this have to be so... Why does this get so much time, energy, and brain power?
Right.
How come other people don't?
Right. Exactly. And so if the brain power, time, and energy feels better, you won't complain as much.
Yep, that's probably true as well. There are positive things to take out of the Shield reforming. If number, you know, here's the weird thing though. It's like people go, Raw's ratings were already up. The power of Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's
like
stupid.
The Shield was the closing segment.
Yeah, that's stupid.
If ratings spiked at 11:07, then deal. you know what I mean?
No.
But you can't do that.
That's stupid.
You can't do that. I also think that Brock Lesnar was advertised for the show and just wasn't on the show. I thought people, I remember people telling me all day that Brock Lesnar was going to be there. Like, people kept telling me because I was like, literally, I was like, I don't even want to watch Raw because I just don't want to watch him, you know, especially when he was like, yeah, I'm going to pin Finn Balor tonight. I'm like, swell. And all throughout the show, people were like, don't worry, man, Brock Lesnar's going to be here and he's going to smash everybody to pieces. I don't think we're going to see Brock Lesnar until 2019.
Yeah, no, 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 no. But that's weird.
That's something we could talk about very quickly, right, as we wrap up the show and don't only talk about the Shield, because there's a connection to the Shield, sort of, kind, at least one member. What do you... I don't know what it's supposed to look, feel, and sound like necessarily, right? It's one of those things, I think, where it's like art, where it's like I can just look at it and tell you if I like it.
Yeah, right.
And I can tell you what it is. It's easier for me to identify it if it's presented than it is for me to draw it on a blank piece of paper. Brock was advertised locally here on TV, says Danny. Thank you, Danny. You're awesome. Shout out to Emily. Congratulations to you too again. But with, I don't know so exactly how to draw it on a blank piece of paper, but Brock Lesnar was the Universal Champion for 500 days. He beat Bill Goldberg. He beat Samoa Joe. He beat AJ Styles. He beat
everybody.
Right? He was the beast. And he lost.
Yep.
What do you think? That's something we haven't really talked about. What do you think of the way he lost, what he does now? Was it worth it? All that stuff.
I'm disappointed because I would have liked to have seen a highly contested contest as opposed to what we got.
6 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like that.
There's also excuses. Like, here's the thing. I know it might sound hypocritical and almost maybe oxymoronic coming from my standpoint, because I think the obsession to make Roman Reigns look this good is exhausting. There, I said it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't hate the guy. I don't want him to break his legs.
Wrong.
But it's just like, it's exhausting.
I haven't busted this one out in a long time, but Roman Reigns is the personification of poor storytelling by WWE.
Right. So, but that being said, if you're going to do it, do it.
Do it well.
I don't even have to like the movie, but as somebody that has an idea about film, if you're going to make this movie, do it. Do it up.
Yeah.
Do it right. And what it shouldn't have been about Brock being distracted by Strowman and getting caught with a spear out of nowhere, right? So Reigns should have finally just beat him.
Right.
It didn't have to be Goldberg.
No, because it did cheapen the win,
right?
Because you just said it, right? It didn't have to be Goldberg, but Goldberg laid the blueprint, right? And so it's like they even talked about it in the commentary on SmackDown, and this is how commentary actually matters, right? Because it should help build the show. They talk about how he's like, oh, he must have studied Bill Goldberg in how to beat Brock Lesnar because he was fast, he was furious, he was just hitting him.
Right.
And so the idea should have been that, you know, Brock kept pummeling Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and he kept pummeling him at the Greatest Royal Rumble. So Roman needed to come out fast and just spear, like some kid who has unlimited finishers in the video game and just keeps spamming the finisher.
Right. It's like literally he watched the tape and he goes, look, it's incredibly difficult to beat Brock Lesnar. There are no guarantees. But in kayfabe, this is the only way.
Yeah, this is the only way. I got to just keep hitting him.
I don't think The Undertaker has ever pinned Brock Lesnar. Correct me if I'm wrong, and the internet will love to, but I don't think The Undertaker
has ever pinned
He's not on that list.
Brock Lesnar.
He's
right?
not on that list.
And so, yeah, let's have fun and live in a fantasy for a second and do kayfabe-wise. The character, because it's what we judge, was like the only person I've ever seen roll tape and just beat Brock Lesnar is Bill Goldberg, and this is how he did it.
Yeah.
And everybody that loses tries to overthink it and strategize and catch him off guard. Yep. No, I have to just...
Attack.
It's exactly.
Yeah, I got to hit him. I got to hit him hard, and I got to hit him often.
Brock Lesnar, the character, has spent his entire life never being picked on.
Right.
So I got to catch this bully off guard because I don't think he knows how to retaliate.
Right. And so if it was 6 minutes, but Roman Reigns just dominated.
Right.
As Brock Lesnar kept kicking out and feeling like a stunned bear.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, yeah, man, that would have been way better.
Reverse New Orleans.
Right.
Brock gave him six F5s and that was finally enough. What if Brock just kept kicking out of spears and finally he put him away with
right.
one? Just like, you know what I mean? Just like right. WrestleMania, because Reigns was just like, screw it. This is all
is all I can do.
There's no finesse here, man. I'm just going to try to run into you with my body.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean?
And that would have felt better. But the fact that it was like, I'm distracted. I'm worried about Braun Strowman. I'm overconfident. It felt like the beginning of the story, not the end of the story.
And again, for the sake of being hypocritical about a guy that I don't believe needs to be a hero every week, well, if you're going to make him the hero,
right.
make him the hero.
Right, because that didn't feel like the triumphant win that Roman Reigns fans pumped their chest
yeah,
out
exactly.
about. It wasn't that wasn't a dominant win.
You Roman Reigns diehards have the same case I have as a Goldberg diehard, where it's just like, do you not understand that Goldberg won this rivalry? And so to all due respect, Roman Reigns fans, you just got to hear this because I want to say it. Roman lost the rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Roman Reigns didn't win the career rivalry with Brock Lesnar
yes.
on Sunday. I hope
yeah.
you understand.
Just like
that.
Triple H is going to beat The Undertaker.
You think so?
I
don't.
I
think Triple H is going to win like five more matches forever. I think he's just going to lose a lot.
But the thing, let's just say hypothetically, right? Hypothetically, Triple H wins against The Undertaker in Australia.
Sure.
Right? That'll be the first time
he's like ever beaten him.
That he's ever beaten The Undertaker. That'll
yeah.
be the first time.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. But that's the other thing that I have the issue with is just like, yeah, Roman Reigns won the war. It's like, yeah, I guess, but it's sort of in the way that it's just like, you got your shit pushed in, you're the only one with a nuke, I guess.
Yeah.
You
won the final battle, not the war.
Oh, final yeah. battle 14?
Yeah.
But like, you know, that's the only thing is just, and I'm not complaining necessarily, it's just, I loved the way Charlotte beat Asuka, because she just beat her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The world didn't fall down, there's
right.
no excuses.
Right.
It's that somebody just was going to win and somebody was going to lose,
right.
and I won.
Well, that's the best part about Japanese wrestling. That's
yeah.
the best part about New Japan. The best part about it is that it's very, 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 very rare when matches end in shenanigans.
That would have been so great, right? If Charlotte was like, all right, I'll like grab a chair or something. And Asuka's like, no, beat me.
Yeah, right.
You know what,
right.
I, you know
yeah,
what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And so like that was great. And again, I don't think that they like blew it. It's just, it's interesting that Brock Lesnar was the Universal Champion for 504 days. And they have had, in a way, a three-year
yeah.
interaction series. I don't
right.
want to call it a three-year program. That's lunacy. But they've had 3+ years of interacting with each other, whatever, 4 years, I guess, or something, of interacting with each other, right? And it was for a 6-minute match with an excuse ending.
Right.
And that's just weird to me.
Yeah.
But that's just a side note. What do you... I just want to, you know, talk about it a little bit. What is next for Brock Lesnar in the WWE? Because I do not believe that Sunday was his last wrestling match.
No, especially the way it went down.
I think he's gonna wrestle The Rock at 35.
Probably. Probably.
I do. I think he's going to wrestle The Rock.
Yeah, 35. I think you take the title off him to let him wrestle The Rock, and that way if things fall through and commitments have to be honored and they can't do it, you don't have the title. Like, you literally don't have Brock Lesnar as the champion being like, well, he was going to face The Rock, and now The Rock's filming Fast 11, so...
Yep.
Can't do that.
Thank God we have 10 of those movies. Justin, this is why we have Hall of Famers. The only guys to pin Brock Lesnar are The Big Show, Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, Goldberg, John Cena, The Undertaker, Triple H, and now Roman Reigns. The Undertaker pinned him as the American Badass twice, apparently.
Okay.
I do not remember that, but Justin, I believe you. But you can agree that it's rare.
Yes.
And then we don't even talk about the American Badass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the stuff that Vince wants you to remember, it never even happened. I think that Brock Lesnar is, and this will make everybody happy, I hope, except me. I think we are at the, Tony, we're in the end game now. It's almost over.
Let's go watch Infinity War.
I mean, if you want to watch Infinity War, I will watch Infinity War.
I'm always down for
oh
it.
My
okay.
God.
Okay.
I
yeah. Yes, I know, Bill.
Love that.
I know.
I love that
You're
movie
welcome.
So much. That is like, without exaggeration, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's so good.
I love it. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, I love that movie a ton.
Well, because it's perfect and the New York Times is wrong.
Oh, yeah. That thing was a joke. Brandon Banks, that is why Justin is an all-star center fielder with an 11-inch bat, which is a compliment somewhere in there.
Ladies, kiss Justin.
Kiss Justin.
Kiss Justin. I think that we are in the end game. That Brock Lesnar has. I mean, if you told me he wrestles one more time, I'd believe you. I think the number is 5, and maybe we'll split the difference, and the number is 3. But it's almost over,
Brock. Yeah,
it's almost over, and that's okay because, I mean, I'm a gigantic fan of Brock Lesnar. I'm also an endangered species, right?
Yeah.
And the herd thins by the day, right? It is a 16-year-old career, 17-year-old career with a big gap in the middle.
Yeah.
But that still means he's been an active performer for closer to 10 years because I think he took 8 off, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about this, but since he's returned in 2012, he has main evented all but one SummerSlam, and the one SummerSlam, he had the match of the night with CM Punk.
Yes.
So the thing about Brock Lesnar, as we do just a very quick like wrap up of him and finish up the show, is Lesnar, for all the amount of times he didn't show up, I do think it's important to remember that now the 2012 to, you know, SummerSlam 2018 window, he main evented 4 SummerSlams.
Yeah.
He was the match of the year in another one. He headlined 2 WrestleManias since coming, 3 WrestleManias since coming back, 2?
2. He went on last.
3. He headlined 3. He headlined, because they don't do main event anymore, yeah, right? So he headlined 31.
Yep, skipped 32 because he was with Dean.
He headlined 33 with Goldberg, and he main evented 34,
yeah,
right? And I just hope that when it all washes over you in time, you realize that he wasn't nearly as part-time as you think. He wasn't there as much as he should have been, because he wasn't asked to be.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this was just this ghost that walked into town twice a year. Because I think that's the unfortunate thing.
No,
this
that's the mentality. That's the mentality is he's up there with like The Undertaker.
Yeah, let me tell you, in The Rock, I feel like they think of him like The Rock, where it's like, I'll see you once every like 3 years or so. It's like, no. Look back at the house shows he worked this year. But neither here nor there. The only reason I bring this up is because you know me, and I'm a dork, and you like to talk about the kids, and I like to talk about the legends because I think that they're both hugely important to the business. And if Brock's wrapping it up, what I got to get off my chest is what I hate about the Roman Reigns experience this specific time is Roman Reigns at the end of Lesnar, not the middle where we get plenty of time to change history and reshape your opinion. The end of Brock Lesnar's all-time WWE career is soaked with the stain that he doesn't care, that he never loved wrestling, that he never loved you, that he was this black hatch, gun for sale. And that, to me, is a borderline disgrace that just for the sake of Roman Reigns' popularity, we shit all over a top 5 WWF creation. Because Hulk Hogan came from the AWA, and Andre the Giant came from the AWA, and you could make the case that Stone Cold Steve Austin found his real legs under him in ECW if you wanted to, right? From start to finish in wrestling, he is a Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, top 5, and even Bret came from Calgary. You're talking about Vince did it?
Hunter.
Beginning to end? Yeah, sure.
The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. Seriously, you're talking about from start to finish in the business, like there is no Calgary Stampede, no WCW, right? Yeah, Brock Lesnar's top 5. And I hate the fact, I hate the fact that we had to stain part of that as the lasting memory so Roman Reigns could be a little bit more popular.
I don't think that that's going to be the lasting memory because...
Oh, I do.
He's going to... Well, the thing is he'll wrestle... Brock Lesnar's going to wrestle somebody, Braun Strowman, before it's all over.
You don't think this 500 days, though, just beat fans over the head with, I hate this guy?
But I don't think that that's going to, fans are have short memories. They're like goldfish.
That's true as well.
So if we're in a WrestleMania season and Braun Strowman, let's just say Braun Strowman's a bad guy, right? And he's not the champion, but he's just like, I'm mean and everybody hates me and boo and boo and boo. And then he's like, there's nobody big and scary enough to beat me. And then Paul Heyman walks out and Brock Lesnar's there. Everybody will lose their mind.
Yeah. Justin thinks the top 5 WWE creations are Cena, Taker, Rock, Brock, and Triple H. It's an incredibly hard list to argue with.
Yeah.
Really quick, Bill, you are not a Brock Lesnar fan.
I wouldn't say that per se. I just didn't like the fact that he was champion for about 18 months, mm-hmm. and we saw like 7 or 8 pay-per-view matches.
Yep.
And 3 or 4 house shows.
No argument.
And it just doesn't do it for me.
And I know you know this, and I know you know this, and I know the average listener knows this, but for the sake of everybody else, I do feel like it's important to say that Brock Lesnar, right, did what he was told.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? And would have, I really, honest to God, believe would have defended that belt monthly. Now, oh, would yeah. he have worked Raw? That would have been a little tougher to get done right. all the time. But I just hate that he got offered a stupid contract yeah. and yep. signed it, and he's the bad guy.
No.
No, the entire sure. issue
I hate
is,
that. I'm sure it's not entirely WWE's influence on that contract either, though, where he was like, no, I'm not going to work that many dates.
You think so?
Yeah, because that was the whole reason he left in the first place.
Right.
Then why the house shows?
Because they were usually MSG, and it was probably a huge payday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that the house shows show me he's willing to work.
So again,
on occasion.
Again, I think that
it was like 4 total.
He didn't work Nebraska,
right?
You know what I mean? Like he didn't, you know, Little Rock. He didn't do Little Rock. You know?
Do you think that that's part of it? Do you think that honestly? Do you think he would have refused dates? Because no, I don't.
I don't think he refused dates, but I think that it was just like, look, here's the deal. I got to be on a minimum of these many dates, and you got to pay me per appearance.
Yeah, right.
And so
it's like $500,000.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden is a big enough deal to them, even on a house show level, that they're going to do it.
Right.
You know.
But I'm saying, like, what if they said I'm not even talking about Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm talking about you're gonna work Money in the Bank, pal.
Right.
So he wouldn't turn that down.
No, I don't think he would have turned that down. But at the same time, then that goes to the other part of the argument where it's. Yeah, it was WWE didn't want to use him because they wanted to create this pressure cooker environment.
Right. I just think that the average fan, again, not talking to YouTube, but the average fan, it's so crazy, and I think you need to hear it out loud so maybe you'll realize how nuts you are. You wanted Brock Lesnar to be the first person in the history of planet Earth to ask to work more for less money.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon goes, you can work 10 times for $500,000 an appearance, and he went, great.
I'm in.
You really... really, really thought that Brock Lesnar was going to turn that down?
Okay.
Or say, Vince, let's make it more dates for less money?
Here's the tough talk. Bill, go ahead.
I think that WWE, going into it, knew that Brock was going to want to work a very, very light schedule. And I think WWE offered too little dates. So that's their fault.
Yeah.
That's exactly how
here's the other thing, too. Wrestling fans, we're gonna have a real talk now.
Oh, no.
guys... We're not the smartest as like a unit.
I am.
As like a unit.
Bill is the smartest.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking individually. I'm talking as a unit. As a collective unit. Wrestling fans, we're not the smartest. And
you sure?
Yeah. And we...
Check the facts.
Yeah. And us, all of it, whatever. Uh-huh.
You mean Steve Kyle in the front row screaming about?
Yeah.
You think the kid on SmackDown this week who thinks his first name is Samoa might not be the brightest kid in his class?
Right.
Samoa, right over here, Samoa.
Yeah,
you think that guy's first name is Samoa? I don't care if you're 10. You're dumb.
Yeah. Right. So. You buy a lot of stuff hook, line, and sinker, right?
Still real to me, damn it.
Yeah, it's still real to a lot of us, damn it. And that's the problem because it's like you cannot like Brock Lesnar. At no point have I ever, like, look, I don't like the Brock Lesnar. I didn't like the Brock Lesnar experience because Brock Lesnar didn't show up.
Yeah.
It's not because I think that Brock Lesnar was not, like, if Brock Lesnar was just like, hey, Vince calls Brock and goes, hey, I need you on Monday. Okay, sure.
That'll be $500,000.
Is the check going to clear?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll be there.
Yeah.
But
these guys I learned recently these guys get direct deposit. Can you imagine just opening up your phone one day and an extra $500,000 was in your account?
Yeah. Hey, I'll see you on Monday, big guy. But that's the thing. It's just like, and there's a lot of wrestling fans who can't separate the actor from the person that's on TV.
Yeah, like the Miz knows he's not a star.
Yeah,
he says that to bug you.
Yeah,
because he knows it's ridiculous.
Because he knows it's ridiculous.
Right.
Also, watch Miz and Mrs. because it's getting up there to being my most favorite reality show.
Nothing will ever beat Todd Chrisley for me because that guy is the it's like the Batman thing where it's just like, look, Marvel's better, but Batman's the best character.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Top to bottom, Miz and Mrs. is the better show.
Yep.
But God damn it, Todd.
Right. But I mean, you magic man, you magical being, Todd Chrisley. But yeah, just that's the only thing about Lesnar is I think that Brock Lesnar, and again, I'm an endangered species, but Lesnar's amazing. Some of my favorite matches over the last 20 years that company's produced involve Brock Lesnar in one way or the other. And I think the sin is in 2004, when he quit to go play football, and me too, hand raised, was pissed at that guy.
Yeah.
How can you leave? You just got here. You're clearly the man. How can you leave? You know what I mean? And the problem is that, so you think about that in 2004, and you forget about a shooting star press that would have killed a horse and not Brock Lesnar. About Iron Man matches with Kurt Angle. About
on SmackDown.
Being the guy to debut the Break the Ring spot with the Big Show. Right?
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be so strong, they broke the ring. Because of his force and the Big Show's weight, the world came tumbling down. Right? And I think you're forgetting about, I think what happened in 04 was you washed away how amazing he was before that. And what I don't want is for this story to wash away his match of the year candidate with AJ Styles.
Right.
His incredible performance with Rollins and Cena at the Royal Rumble in 2015.
Yep.
His incredible performances at WrestleMania's plural. His incredible performances at SummerSlam.
Yeah, again,
I just don't want that to all go away.
But
you
again,
see what I'm saying?
But again, I think you're reading too much into it because these guys, when it is time to wave and say goodbye, they usually go out as good guys. Or when we all know it is time to be done, they all cheer and applaud. So I don't think that it's, you know, I don't think it's
Shane. Shane at Token BG, Shane, one of my favorite people, says this sounds like a hell of a Patreon show when Brock is finally done. And we will do that when Brock is finally done. And there's all sorts of fun stuff waiting on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We're going to be recording a Patreon edition for you right after this. Is Late Night Liam on tonight?
No, because we got to do two Patreon shows.
That's right. We owe you one. So we're going to do that. There's 5 a month, including Be Heard. Do we have the Be Heard questions coming in eventually?
Yeah, they're coming in.
Cool. Get those
in. We'll
do
that at the end of the month.
Get those in, and because that's my favorite thing that we do. So Be Heard. And there's all sorts of fun reasons to be a Patreon at patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Just closing thoughts to get back to the centerpiece here. The Shield being back together and Roman Reigns being the champion. Let's start with one or the other. Roman Reigns being the champion. I think we are in for, like I said in the beginning, more of an illusion of change than an actual change. Because if Brock, and because I do get the difference. I'm not naive to this. But I don't see a earth-shifting movement when you go from Brock Lesnar's not here to defending the title to Roman Reigns is defending the title against people he's just going to beat. I don't think that's night and day. Because at the end of the day, we picked a champion, and he's the champion until a chosen opponent comes along. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But it's a cool thing to see the title on Raw more. Fighting champion.
Again,
there are a lot of people that do like Roman Reigns,
right.
And here we go. At least it's different, and I get that too.
Again, it all boils down to one key component. The stories with Brock Lesnar sucked.
Yes.
There weren't any. It was, can you beat Brock Lesnar? Guess not.
Yep.
Can you beat Brock Lesnar? Guess not. You know what I mean?
No, it was Mortal Kombat. Remember how Mortal Kombat, they had story mode sometimes, but if you just picked the gauntlet, it was just like, here's 8 people, you get to Goro.
Yeah.
And you wanted more than
and there
that.
And there was a screen that told you what the guy did with the win at the end.
Right.
That was it. That was all the story.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah.
I get you. He was just Goro sitting on top waiting. I got you.
Yeah, right. And so, at least with Roman, you want this to be different? You want this to be better? Tell me stories. Yeah. He might not beat Bobby Lashley might not win at Hell in a Cell, right? But God damn it, the story leading up to it was good. And that's all I can ask for.
Okay.
That's
a great thing to put out there because that's a question I'm going to ask you eventually when he loses is, was this really, and it will be, I bet, but was Roman Reigns really a better champion than Brock Lesnar? Because, again, The easy thing is just go, yeah, you idiot. Of course he already is. He's already defended it more than Brock and LOL, right? But yeah, but what he really, but let's think about what he really, really, really did. What he really, really, really did was make sure that Finn Balor got to the back of the line and you stopped bitching on the internet and made it dauntingly difficult for Braun Strowman to cash in like you want him to.
Yeah.
So there's a yin and yang, right? That's the, I think that that's the real common denominator to this whole show. Becky Lynch, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, The Shield, all of it is, and it's a good thing because if WWE is trying to make you not just, you know, it's not Hulk Hogan versus the Iron Sheik where there was no yin and yang, it was all good and versus bad. All bad, right? This is better than that. That's more interesting than that. There's potential here. I'm not just going to sit here and be like, everything about Roman Reigns is terrible. There are things about Roman Reigns that, yes, I think are terrible and I think are exhausting and I think are counterproductive long term. But if people are going to watch next Monday because they want to see The Shield and not just boo, that's progress in its own way.
It is.
And I just love Brock Lesnar and think he's special. And more than whether or not he should be the champion now, because I can totally admit that end of the day, let's weigh the jelly beans. No, Brock shouldn't be the champion anymore. But when my alternative was Roman Reigns, I would have stuck with Lesnar. But that's just me. We are going to be talking all about all sorts of fun stuff on patreon.com/newageinsiders. Your support goes a long ways. We get ready to go to All In. We are trying to make it the most incredible interactive experience out there in Chicago. We want to see you. We know that Colin and LA, I think Max is going, right?
Here's Danny. The thing. If you're
it's Justin going, I need Danny's
you,
going.
This is what I need you to do. I need you to tweet at me at LiamNAI or direct message me at LiamNAI. I want to know because I'm going to be trying to go to a comedy show at some point out there. And I want to go with you guys.
You go to a Second City?
I'm either Second City or there's a bunch of options.
Yeah.
IO, it's going to be fun. So we're going to try and see if we can get to a comedy show, which should be really fun.
I promise Colin that one night out there, and I will put this out there, one night we'll go out, and if we get a group, that'd be great. We'll go play Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Because I am a master at that game. Thank you very much. And I'll make you some great trades. I'm not sure.
I also want to go to Superdog.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm going to give you a Mewtwo. It's just an expensive trade. It's a lot of Stardust. But we'll go play one of the nights in Chicago. That'll be one of the NAI
things. Is that like code for drugs?
It can be. It's when Dolph listens to Bowie and it's Ziggy Stardust. Okay, I'm sorry. But one of the things we'll do out there in Chicago is we'll have a
Pokemon. He was really, really proud of himself.
I liked that. It's why you should be watching on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Thank you so much for joining and becoming a Patreon. I can already tell you're going to do it. Thank you so much for signing up in advance.
Yeah, thank you.
We will see you in Chicago. The shirts are available. Everything we got is on represent.com and NewAgeInsiders.com because Bill did a great job. We will see you in a week. We'll see you, Patreons. We'll see you real soon. Thank you for making us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.